This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
Final hour for the week. Brian Hayes, Steve Simmons from Sun Media. Future headlines later in the hour. Richard Griffin will join us live from Wrigley. The Jays dropping game one of a three-game series in the north side of Chicago, 7-4 earlier today. Prior to that, pretty good vibes surrounding the team. They went 7-3, I believe, on that 10-game homestand and had won three series in a row for the first time since late May. But they are really hanging on by, like, duct tape. You know, it's like scotch tape. When you've got Tepish and Rowley and guys in the back end of the order that you've never heard of before who you're hoping can contribute, realistically, you're in the position you're supposed to be, and that's four games under 500.
And today, the lineup, I guess, was even worse because Roberto Osuna was unable to be there, although they didn't need a closer in the end. Because of flu, and a couple of other relievers weren't available because they've been used so much lately. And I actually think that this might be John Gibbons' greatest season. Strange as that may sound, in last place, I think the work that he's had to do under pretty awful circumstances, lack of performance, lack of depth in the pitching rotation, creating a bullpen, not the one they expected to have for the season. He's been flying by the seat of his pants the entire season and keeping things reasonably copacetic.
I won't deny that. I think, like we've been talking about throughout the afternoon, it's an outlier. There's just a lot of bad teams in the American League. And there's three or four teams at the top, specifically Houston, Boston, and now Cleveland, even though they haven't been great. Yankees have been pretty solid all year, but I don't think they're world beaters.
They can't score. They're really having trouble scoring.
Recently, but over the course of the year, they've been an offensive juggernaut at times. But I think there's just a lot of mediocre teams. And the Jays have kind of been lucky because they've had so many injury problems and a lot of guys who have been underperforming. The fact that they're only four games under 500, it probably should be worse. And again, I would credit Gibbons to an extent for that. You got to credit like Stroman, Osuna, Smoke, the big dogs who have played primary roles all season, have been healthy and very productive. But you also got to credit the fact that there's just a lot of bad teams that they get to play against.
Well, bad teams and yet still unable to hit that, and it's not a magical number, 500 number. And if you don't hit that 500 mark, no matter what you're talking about, you can't be in the race. You can't even consider yourself in the race. You can be knocking at doors, you can be hoping, you can be saying, oh, if only. And they've been saying it all year long. If only we win eight in a row. If only we win seven in a row. If only we have run on one of those winning streaks, we're right back in it. Well, the truth is, at this number of games, post 110 games, they haven't hit one of those winning streaks, and they haven't been able to do that, and they haven't hit 500. And if they can in the next 3 weeks, what are we at here? We're August late
18th.
How many weeks left in the season now?
About six weeks.
Okay, say 6 weeks. If within 2 weeks this team can get to 500, then they have basically 4 weeks to take a shot. And it's not much of a shot, but it's to take a shot.
Well, and
because the only way you can get where you need to go is to first get to that same number of wins and losses.
And this is not a tanking scenario. This isn't like other sports where there's a lottery in the draft and you want to just keep losing games. That ship has sailed. There are four or five teams that are atrocious that will end up with the top four or five picks in next year's draft. So you've gone this far. It's not like you've got kids either that you want to come up and see. Like Bo Bichette just won the MVP in the league that he was playing in earlier this year. Vladdy Guerrero was an all-star in that league or whatever. They're 19 years old, 18, 19 years old. They're not going to be here in September. It's not as if you have two, three, four kids in AA, AAA where you're like, I want to use September to get them experience, and I want to have the fans have the opportunity to see the next wave of Blue Jays. You may as well be going for it, and if you're a fan, psych yourself in to just hoping they can go on a magical run. Embrace it. It is what it is. We've gone this far.
Well, the one thing you can embrace from, say, the last 3 weeks or so is Josh Donaldson playing to the level of MVP that he played at the previous two seasons. I mean, he has been marvelous. He's carried this team, really. You know, as good, as great a season as Smoke has had, Smoke doesn't impact the game in the same way Donaldson does. He doesn't seem to be that guy in that moment who gets that hit. And there was, what, how many games in the last few weeks was it that first home run by Donaldson or that?
Well, his home runs in the first inning this year, I think he's like leading a lot of teams and players.
He's inspirational with this group. And he is by far the best player with this group. And when he plays at that level, he gives you hope. He gives you hope that he can be a difference maker. And as he did the other day, he hit the two home runs that put them in a position, and then Smoke won it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a nice combination. I think sometimes we underrate what a really good season Smoke has had. Smoke and Stroman have really performed beyond anything you would have expected.
Well, and Smoke way more than Stroman.
Yeah.
Stroman, you could see this coming.
You thought Stroman was a good pitcher.
You felt good about it. You've seen it at times. Smoke was a punching bag. You talk about whipping boys. He was a whipping boy. Last year...
He wasn't even in John Gibbons's, like,
but he couldn't be in his wheelhouse. He didn't have a hit for, like, a full calendar month last year. And this is a guy who, at the All-Star break, I kept referencing the first half of the Michael Saunders season in 2016, where Saunders was an All-Star, deserved to be based on the stats, put up big numbers, and fell off a cliff in the second half to the point where now his career is essentially over. He's just completely off the map. I was not necessarily expecting that out of Smoke, but I was bracing myself for it. I was waiting for him to slow down a little bit, and full credit to Justin Smoke because he has not slowed down a beat.
Well, he had that one sort of, I don't know if it
was, but over 162 games.
You're always going
to
have the
up. But look at his numbers right now. It's not like he's falling off a cliff to the point where you're like, this guy's going to have an OPS of like 800 by the end of the season.
If you look at his month-by-month OPS, that's one of the most impressive things to me. Because sometimes you have a great month, then you fall back a bit. Even you look at all the great hitters. They have really hot months, then they fall back a bit. Really hot months, fall back a bit. Smoke has been pretty consistent all the way through. And not just consistent, but at a number that's, I'm not going to say Hall of Fame number, but pretty darn close to that for this season and the way he's conducted himself. And, will it ever happen again? Who knows?
Well, and that's the truth. As of next spring, a big debate will be, what can we pencil Justin Smoke in for? Because if you only do it once and you come out of obscurity in many ways to perform the way that you did, sometimes guys have magical seasons. Sometimes it connects. Now, you have to have the talent to do it. This was a guy who was like a 5-tool player coming up, highly touted coming up in Seattle, I believe it was. But I can't picture myself, just based on the way I've been burned in the past from players having magical years, sitting here on April 1st, 2018, saying, I got Smoke with 40 home runs, him locked in the 3 or 4 hole, and just being an all-star again. You got to do it more than once.
Well, here
for that kind of commitment.
Here's what we don't know, and really you never know. Jose Bautista in Pittsburgh and Baltimore and everywhere else he was pretty much just a guy. And then he comes to Toronto, and he becomes a superstar. And right in his first season playing every day, he becomes a star. Did we expect it in the second year, in the third year? Were we sure it was coming? We didn't really know. It was that kind of thing. Same with Encarnacion. Later in his career, after washing out with the Jays and washing out with the Cincinnati Reds, he became a star in Toronto. Now, is this now the time that Justin Smoke, after in Texas and Seattle and wherever else, had his difficulties? Is he now that guy? If he is that guy, it's a wonderful thing for at least the next two seasons under really inexpensive contracts for the Blue Jays.
$4 million a year.
And I think it's sixth year after that.
But I believe that's a team option, too.
But I'm saying if he comes out and does what he's doing this year, the team option's pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when the Jays signed Kendrys Morales, it's because they don't have a clue what Justin Smoke is. They're signing this DH, $11 million a year, hoping that he's going to give them some some gravitas in the middle of their lineup. Well, it turns out Smoke has given them all of that, and Morales has sort of been just a guy, maybe a little better than just a guy, and who slows you down when he's on the base paths. And he's a guy I would look, frankly, to move in the offseason because I don't think he helps you in the way that this team needs to get help.
I don't know what his value would be. He's got 2 years left at like $11 million. And
his value is someone else taking the contract.
Yeah, but that gets back to whether or not you can sell ownership on potentially having to eat the money if you want to unload the contract. Are you going to be able to load 100% of the Kendrys Morales deal?
Well, probably because 11 million? 11 is not a big number for a,
it is,
a
though,
guy who's going to have 20-ish home runs.
I'm looking at his numbers now.
He's
34. To your point, he's the opposite of athletic. He can barely move on the bases. He doesn't play defense. He's a DH. So you're also looking at only an American League team.
You want to see a bad number? Look at his on-base percentage.
He's got a 307 on base.
That's horrendous.
That's horrendous. And that's my point. Is Morales got 21 home runs. Let's say he ends up with 26, 27. He's got an OPS of 747. That is a guy who's 34 right now. Be 35 at some point next season, 2 years left at $11 million, can only play one position, and it's a position that only applies to half the teams in the league. I'm not convinced you can actually just say, take the $22 million left on the deal. They might have to eat 20% of it, 30% of it.
Guess what? It's not my money.
Of course.
I don't care.
But we could play that game all the time then. When Bryce Harper's up, go give him $500 million.
That's,
they're not going to do that.
That's a different scenario.
But how is that a different scenario? That's also not your money.
No, it's not. But that's, you know, outrageous spending in bigger picture. These are small numbers. $11 million in a baseball sense is a pretty small number.
Not when you're dealing with boards and everything has to be accounted for.
I don't know if the Jays micromanage that way. Certainly they did not when Paul Beeston and Alex Anthopoulos ran the team. I don't know if it's the same now because the circumstances have changed. But what they did in those days is they gave a budget.
But that's my point.
To the baseball people. And they say, operate your team. And really, they
and every dollar counts.
Yeah, but they had nobody saying, you know, why are you doing this and why are you
doing
that?
No, I'm not suggesting that. But what I'm saying is, let's say their budget arbitrarily is $160 million. Okay, that's what you get to work with. They don't get a surplus of buyout money, where actually it's $160 for the team. And then because you had to eat a chunk of the contract to get rid of Morales, it's really effectively $164 or $165. That's not the way it works. So if every dollar counts, you eating the money is going to count against the overall $160.
Absolutely.
And that's why the Tulowitzki contract is just an albatross, because he's got 3 years left or whatever at $20 million per, and now with the injury, and now he's going to be off even longer. Who knows where he's going to be in the spring?
Well, you would assume, I'm going to give benefit of the doubt a little bit here. You would assume that he will go back to being a decent major league shortstop, which he's always been. And I don't know if he'll be as he was when he first got to Toronto, but his defense in the first 2 years here was very close to brilliant. Now, was it this year? And was it bad because he was hurt? Bad because he's gotten old too fast? Bad because the team started out so terribly? What created the problems for Tulowitzki in the field? You're not getting a great offensive player anymore, but you're getting a middle of the road. When you look at his numbers, I ran the Colorado numbers versus the Toronto numbers over the same number of at-bats he's had in each city. They're not as different as you'd think they'd be. So I think sometimes people overrate how terrible he is. I think he'll be fine, and you're going to have to live with it, because frankly, where else are you going to put him?
Well, he's playing shortstop. He's going to play, and
I just hope
that kind of bank he's hitting.
But he's not going to be a middle of your lineup hitter anymore. Well, I think you have to realize that. He's going to be a 7-8-9.
Yeah, he better not be if this is going to be the performance. Richard Griffin from Wrigley will join us. We'll get an update on what the vibe was like down there. A ton of Blue Jay fans traveling down to Wrigley. I'm mad at myself, man. I should have penciled this in. I should be down there.
I was thinking exact same thing today.
What were we thinking?
I never looked at it. An afternoon game in Chicago.
Oh, it's brilliant. A Friday afternoon?
The city with the best nightlife in America.
I'll debate you maybe on that. We'll talk about that.
Okay,
as well.
New Orleans and Nashville.
New York is Manhattan.
I'll take Chicago over Manhattan.
All right, Griff will join us. Future headlines next. All right, future headlines a little later in the hour. Brought to you by our friends at 2-for-1 Pizza. Richard Griffin will join us here in a moment from the Star. He's down at Wrigley. Jays losing 7-4 today. They can't get swept. I almost expect them to drop 2 of 3. If they could take 2 of 3, that would be great. But you can't get swept and wake up on Monday and be like, they're still in it. There's not enough time left.
No, you can't have those bad streaks now. As you're attempting to get, as I keep talking about, you're attempting to get back to 500, and then you can sort of put yourself in position to be real. Until then, you're not real, as far as I'm concerned. But for a guy like Griff, I wonder what it's like to go to Wrigley now, because all the years with the Expos and all the years he's been doing, you know, Major League Baseball in Toronto, he's probably been to Wrigley, you know, so many times over the years, it's probably ho-hum by now.
Maybe it doesn't have the same feel.
Yeah.
Let's head to Wrigley, catch up with Richard Griffin, and this Baseball Insider is brought to you by Oakland for Lincoln, your premier source for auto service and sales in the GTA. Do you still get fired up to go to Wrigley?
I did get fired up to come to Wrigley, and it was from 1979 to 95, 9 games a year at Wrigley in Chicago. So I know a lot of things about Wrigley. I know a lot of things about Chicago, and most of them about Chicago don't do me any good physically.
Oh, it's the greatest. It's such a good town. It really is.
There's no doubt. And Wrigley right now, the Wrigley that I'm sitting at right now, is not the one I remember in terms of outside. There's still like 300 Blue Jays fans drinking heavily and listening to a live band as the Cubs ownership sucks money out of them until at the end of the weekend they're going to be hitchhiking home, I think.
There must be a ton of Jays fans down there, right?
Oh, there was. They said after the game today that they have not seen anything like this. It exceeds even when they play the St. Louis Cardinals. And that's their natural rivalry, and everybody talks about the presence of Cardinal fans in the ballpark when St. Louis is here, and they're saying that the noise and the numbers exceeded that. So that's pretty amazing. I flew down on Thursday, and to me it seemed like there was more adult sons bringing their fathers for a weekend. That's what it seemed to me the whole plane was filled with. And I think that's kind of neat, too, because both generations can relate to Wrigley Field and what it means to them individually. And, you know, stuff like that is tremendous.
This has really become a thing, Griff, hasn't it? And not just with the Blue Jays, but I find it with the Raptors as well. There is this travel thing about Toronto. I haven't seen it anywhere else. You worked in Montreal. I worked in Calgary. I didn't see that in those cities. There's really become a thing where Jays fans go to Seattle. Jays fans go to Minnesota. Jays fans go to Chicago. It's really become something, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think it's a generational thing because I don't remember anything like that even when the Expos were having their best years, having their finest years in the first generation of bad baseball in Toronto when I came here in 95. And it's only pretty much since the trade deadline in 2015 that Blue Jay fans have been proud of their team and they want to go on the road. And I think the blue returning to the original blue color makes them stand out even more. And you know, this generation, you know, they make a lot of money, they plan their vacations, and they like to travel. And that all adds up to a tremendous presence on the road. I think it's more of a Canadian thing than an, you know, NFL has a tremendous following, but they only play 8 road games, so you can plan those well in advance.
Well, you also have got a situation here where for a lot of Blue Jay fans, they spent either the majority of their lives or at least half their lives where interleague play wasn't an option. And going to Wrigley, you know, when I was a kid and growing up and in the 90s or whatever, like, I wasn't ever thinking of going to Wrigley to see a Blue Jay game. And now it's an option based on the interleague plays or interleague rules. So, you know, you're saying they travel to Seattle and they travel to Detroit and Cleveland, and they do. There's no denying that. But I think this is a little bit more unique because they play at Yankee Stadium every year. Fenway every year. Going to Wrigley to see the Jays is truly a rarity. I mean, I would cherish that. I'm disappointed I'm not down there, Griff.
Yeah, that's a tremendous point. And Scotty Mack is here, and he brought his dad. So, right. You know, that reinforces your point. I think he's lying on a gutter somewhere right now. But
yeah, tell him to put his Instagram account away.
He'll make sure he gets home.
Yeah, I know, man. I can already picture where Scotty Mack's evening and weekend is going to go.
So tell us about the game today, Griff.
It was Jay Happ forgetting to cover first base. It was Jake Arrieta being better than Happ. It was some tremendous defense for the middle infield by the Cubs. I think what we're seeing is, and they could turn it around and win the next two games, but what we're seeing is what we saw against the Houston Astros, that the Jays aren't in the same class as the best teams in baseball. And at some point, let's get to 500 first. After that, let's discuss the wild card. But I think that their bullpen is about to hit a wall very, very hard. They don't have the reinforcements at the minor league level. Joe Biagini is coming up as a savior. He went 4 innings and threw 75 pitches on Thursday. I think that this is about to come apart. But if they can keep it going to the middle of September, then the fan, you know, they'll put enough people in the ballpark that it'll be a success.
So because we were here and not watching, how does Josh Donaldson end up at shortstop? How does Jose Bautista end up at third base? What prompted all that?
Well, he had to, that 7-8-9 in the Jays batting order these days is almost pinch hittable, especially when the pitcher's hitting. You don't have the DH. They had to pinch hit for Darwin Barney in the seventh inning, and Lord knows they don't want to bring Rob Rushneider in the game defensively. So they brought Jose Bautista in to play third, and Donaldson moved to short. Gibby said he'd been talking about such a move and the possibility for the last 4 days to these guys. So I think maybe since the two games that Rushneider played that Gibby saw, he's going, we got to have options. We got to have something else that we can do. And this is it. This is what he said it may not be the last time you see it.
I love the Rob Refsnyder reference. Like, doesn't that scream a guy that in 30 years, Jays fans, like diehards, will mention? So remember when that guy was on the team?
He can be the last line of someone's Sunday column.
Yes.
Hey, whatever became of
Rob Refsnyder with Richard Griffin from the Star. He's live at Wrigley. The Jays losing 7-4 this afternoon. I'm with you, Griff. You look at the rotation and quality stories, very quality stories from relatively unknown pitchers who have come up and supplied them with some production. But at least 40% of the rotation, I might throw Estrada into that, so 60%. Is just a high wire act. You're waiting for something to go wrong. Their bullpen is hitting a wall. They've got guys who they're expecting to supply some production from at the back end of the batting lineup that just simply, it's not a reality. So, you know, on the outside, the fans want to believe, I said this earlier, this isn't like a tanking situation. There aren't kids that you're waiting to see play in September because Bichette and Vlady Guerrero Jr. are still at least a year, year and a half away. You're not playing for a draft pick. You might as well believe they can win or hope they can win. But baseball people and professionals in pro sports generally don't think that way. I mean, if you had a candid moment with Mark Shapiro, how do you think he would really feel about this team?
Well, actually, the owners' meetings are here in Chicago, and Mark Shapiro was at the game today, but the owners' meetings concluded yesterday, and one of the national writers that was there said that he got the impression that even Mark Shapiro has given up on this season and is looking forward to the next one. So that answers your question right there, is that off candidly and off the record, not speaking to Toronto journalists, he's pretty much written this year off and is looking forward. Like, if you haven't been at 500 and it's August the 18th, I don't think you can consider yourself a wild card contender. But as you pointed out, Brian, there's a lot of good stories up here. Chris Rowley, first U.S. Army grad from West Point, to pitch in the major leagues. And I had one lined up, Taylor Cole, who was spent 2 years in Toronto on a Mormon mission in 2011, 2012. Then he came back and he was pitching, and I wanted to talk to him. He said, I'll talk to you in a couple of days. By that time, he was gone. So, like, both times that he came knocking on the door in Toronto, he was rejected. So,
I wonder. Saying. I had the same story in mind, by the way. I wonder if you're thinking about John Gibbons the way Brian and I had a conversation a little earlier in the show. It's strange to say this about a manager, but being in last place with this collection of injuries and underachievers and all the problems and guys who just haven't had good years, is he doing his best job of managing that he's ever done?
I think he is, and I think he's the most relaxed he's ever been. I mean, it's almost a little bit like the movie Major League, but, you know, he's doing his best. Ownership, not so sure they really want to be there, not so sure they ever wanted to be there, starting in 2015 at the break, but Gibbons is enjoying himself. I said, you're in last place, and he smiled, and he said this morning, well, you know, we did catch the O's and Tampa Bay yesterday. And then he had this big smile, and you know, I said, "Well, you're still in last." But he is enjoying himself, and it is his best job of managing. To me, there's no doubt.
That is shocking to hear that Gibbons is possibly more laid back and relaxed than ever before. Like, that's like looking at Cheech and Chong and saying, "I think they're more stoned than they've ever been."
Pretty soon in September, we're going to have to lean down and find him under the desk. He's flipping down under there. So
He actually looked the other day when he was getting thrown out in that game like he was enjoying the argument. Like, that was the impression I got watching him arguing with the umpire.
Well, when he got ejected and continued on to make the pitching change, went out to the mound, he had already won the battle. So when he was coming back and arguing with the umpire, that was just the icing on the cake. And, you know, he knows the techniques, he knows the methods, he knows the umpires, he knows when to get thrown out. And, yeah, he's having a hell of a time.
Well, keep being Gibby, man. Gibby being Gibby, I guess. Four games under 500.
He used to be hated when they were in first place.
Yeah, it's weird.
He doesn't seem to be hated in last place.
Now they're under four games under 500 in last place, and he's on top of the world. Enjoy yourself down there in Chicago. We wish we were down there with you. Thank you for this, Griff.
I think I will enjoy myself. Thank you.
All right, there's Richard Griffin from the Toronto Star. And this Baseball Insider was brought to you by Oakland Ford Lincoln Quick Lane, conveniently located at 570 Trafalgar Road in Oakville.
So it's like 5-something in Chicago right now. And you got to make it out of the ballpark. You got to get back to your hotel. And then you're going to eat. Is it pizza?
No, I'm a steakhouse guy on a Friday night.
Okay.
I'm all steakhouse. Yeah, 100%.
And there's no shortage of that in Chicago.
That's like, the amazing thing. You walk around downtown Chicago, every corner has a spot that you've probably heard of before, just in like pop culture references. But even places you haven't heard of, you're like, that place looks spectacular.
One of the great episodes of the show MASH from way back was they're in the war and they're ordering food, ribs to be delivered from Chicago. And they're being very specific about where the place is and what's going to be delivered. And it's actually a place called Carson's Ribs, which still exists in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, of course, when I get to Chicago, one of the first times, I have to go to Carson's Ribs because they ordered it from MASH. And it was spectacular.
Oh, you can't miss in Chicago. Like, I think Chicago is the best food spot for me. Like, New York is more authentic and cultured and multicultural. You can get any dish in the world in Manhattan. But Chicago, for me, I have a very basic
palate.
It's like prime rib and pizza. That's my wheelhouse.
Well, there's
great. That's what I'm looking for.
There's great pizza.
Ribs,
meat. Like chop houses,
yeah.
Steaks, any of that.
And copious amounts of food.
Oh.
Like absurd
ridiculous
amounts of food.
Like, we went for dinner during the draft this year. And one of those nights where you're out with like 10 or 12 people and you're ordering. And when my dinner came, it honestly looked like it was for three people. And I'm a pretty large eater. And I'm looking at this thinking, like, who else is eating the rest of this. And I should have shared with the person beside me. It was insane how big the, and it wasn't like incredibly expensive. It was just, you know, Toronto prices pretty much.
Yeah, we went to a steakhouse. We were in Chicago as well for the draft, and same kind of thing. I can get after a steak, and I couldn't even finish the steak, and I got like the smaller ounced steak. Like whatever it was, it's like a 24-ounce steak.
We went to Harry Carey's one of the first nights there, and it's not supposed to be like the high end of the steak places.
I've been to Harry Carey's. It's a
good place.
Harry makes a nice chop.
They bring you the raw meat, like this big plate with here are the steaks. Which one do you want? And then they give you the history. Well, this one's been aged for this long, and this one's been sitting around for that long, and this one has more marble and. And they go through it, and you're staring at like raw pieces of meat.
Highly priced at Harry Carey's, but it's because of the prices, it kind of throws you off because it's kind of a sports bar. And we were there, and we were kind of dressed up, and I had always heard of it. And I'm like, we're in Chicago, let's go to Harry Carey's. And there's just grit grinders everywhere. Like they were at the Cubs game and are.
But it's not grit grinder price.
No, it's like high end price. $60 steak or whatever.
Oh, yeah. That's steakhouse prices now these days. You know, if you're.
Yeah, I guess so.
If you're not going to the
like House of Chan prices.
Yeah, House of Chan or any of the Toronto downtown steakhouses. You know, you're paying 60 plus these days.
But that's Americano.
Yes.
It's another thing. When the dollar's at 75 cents.
Yes. Well, now it's come up a little, so we're getting a bit of a break. Yeah.
Trump's helping us out. Future headlines, courtesy of 241 Pizza. We'll get to that next.
I think his dad will invariably settle down once his son is drafted and a team has the appropriate discussions with him.
Or
Big Baller Brand in the house. Not only is he the face of the Big Baller Brand, but the face of the Lakers.
Or
Josh Donaldson with a two-run home run here in the top of the first.
Or
we'll get there. We'll get on a roll. You know, it's just maybe it's bathing to shut you guys up. You know.
Overdrive. Future headlines.
All right, future headlines on Overdrive is brought to you by 2-for-1 Pizza's new Chorizo Supreme Pizza with chorizo, jalapenos, mushrooms, tomatoes, and onions. Order online, 2for1pizza.com, and tweet us at Overdrive1050, or you can text us 105050 every Friday, your most outrageous future headline for your chance to win free pizza courtesy of our friends at 2-for-1 Pizza. All right, Steve, we know the way this works. A couple of options. Sometimes they can both be extreme. You have to pick whichever one you think makes the most sense. Josh Donaldson finishes the season in MVP form, solidifying his status as a top earner come the winter. Or Donaldson begins to struggle again, and the injury-riddled 2017 season leads the Blue Jays to consider whether or not it makes sense to give him big money long-term.
I think the last few weeks have shown what Josh Donaldson is and can be when he's at his best. And I think that's the Josh Donaldson that was here for 2 years and hasn't been here for most of this year. And I think that's the guy they're going to look at keeping and signing long term.
Yeah, I said earlier that with outliers like Justin Smoke, you got to do it more than 1 year for me to commit that is really who you are. Donaldson had been doing it for years, including the first 2 years here in Toronto. He got injured. He was injured right off the hop in spring training. He got injured multiple times the first 20, 25 games of the season. Couldn't find a rhythm. He is the real deal. He's going to finish the season hot, and he's going to get paid if they're willing to pay him.
This is year 7 for Josh Donaldson as a Major League Baseball player. He's been in the playoffs 6 times. It's not an accident that he's been in the playoffs 6 times.
He's the man. All right, moving on. Future headline number 2. Jay Cutler plays every game this year.
You have to bring that one up.
You knew Cutler was coming up. Every game this year for the Dolphins and actually looks like a legitimate average to above average quarterback. Or Cutler gets banged up, but even when he's healthy, he looks miserable and plays horribly all season, leading the fish at the end of the year to realize that maybe they made a mistake.
Well, it's not a mistake because Tannehill's not there. So they needed somebody to go in no matter what. And I think Jay Cutler is not a terrible NFL quarterback. I know you love his interceptions and you enjoy them greatly.
I like his demeanor, too.
I think he'll be exactly what the Miami Dolphins expect him to be. And the coach there knows him and has had him before. And so it's not like it's a surprise of who you're bringing in or what you're getting. they have an average football team, and now they have an average quarterback for their average football team.
Yeah, I think injuries are more than likely going to pop up with him, but I don't think he's going to perform well at all. I just don't expect that. Considering where his mentality was anyway, thinking all offseason he was done, he's coming off an injury last year.
No, but think of it from his perspective. His career did not end the way you want your career to end. Everybody wants to write their own ending and their own way of changing things. This is a chance for him to change the story.
Could you picture a scenario where he plays so well, they decide Tannehill's not the guy when he comes back from injury?
Probably not, but you know what? Every once in a while, there's a guy who surprises you. A guy who you thought wasn't going to be anything, and suddenly he's playing quarterback and he's doing well. We've seen it before, and we've seen it with guys who were lower than Jay Cutler on the totem pole coming up and being reasonable.
Well, it's like what Minnesota had to deal with last year when Teddy Bridgewater got injured, and then they traded for Sam Bradford. And Bradford, a lot like Cutler, just a guy who's been around, always disappointing, but always gets opportunities. He's always been a starter, first overall pick. And Bradford is what he is. He's a guy that'll get banged up. He'll throw bad picks. He's not going to carry a team, and Cutler's going to do that just for the AFC Vikings, and that's the Dolphins.
Yeah, and I think in terms of Bradford v. Cutler, if you're going to equate them, I think Cutler was the higher guy in terms of performance in the NFL than Bradford was.
All right, Ricky Ray returns to his 2017 early season form, ending the Argonauts' three-game losing streak against Montreal tomorrow. Or Ricky Ray struggles in his return, forcing the Argos to think about the future of that position sooner than expected.
I think they should be thinking about the future of that position right now. Every time Ricky Ray goes back to pass, you hold your breath. You don't know if he's going to get hit, and that's going to be the game, and that's going to be career or what it's going to be. He's immobile. It's tough to be immobile in professional football today with the kind of sophisticated rush we see. And I worry about Ricky Ray at his age and has had a marvelous, marvelous career. But, you know, to me, the end is close to being.
Yeah, you can't trust him going forward. He's had so many injury problems recently. He's an older guy anyway. I think he'll return to form, though. I think as a veteran, if he's 100% or close to it, he can step in and continue to perform. They're playing Montreal. They're not a great team. They're atop the East, but they're in the East. I expect him to play well tomorrow night.
One thing about Ricky Ray, and I'm talking pro football. By pro football, I mean CFL and NFL. One of the greatest accuracy passers in football history. Just a guy with a beautiful touch and the ability to throw that easy pass to catch. And I don't think there's been many guys who threw the ball more accurately and were easier to catch in either league than Ricky Ray has been.
One of the great NASCAR names of all time, too. Ricky Ray.
Yeah.
It just screams either NASCAR or quarterback for like a team in the South.
And wouldn't you want him to have more personality? Wouldn't you want him to be like a...
Nothing you can do about that.
Like,
but
he should be Ricky Bobby.
Yeah, Ricky's a tough... He's a tough nut to crack when it comes to interviews
and, you know,
and stuff.
A good man, a good guy to talk to.
Yep.
But boy, is he hard to get him to say anything interesting.
You're going down tomorrow, right? Then you're going to hit the X?
I'm hitting the X, I think, first, and then going down. I think we'll do the X prior to game.
And you can use your tickets to get into the X tomorrow.
It's a 4 o'clock kickoff. And hopefully there'll be more people than we've been seeing down at...
Down at BMO Field.
What a great football stadium, by the way. Have you been there for a football game?
It's a great stadium. Yeah, I have. It's a great stadium for any event. It really is a great part of the landscape of Toronto.
I haven't sat in the stands for a soccer game. I've been in the press box for soccer games, but I haven't sat in the stands. And the atmosphere of soccer games are crazy good. The atmosphere at the Argo game...
But it is...
They should be in the Midway handing out tickets to pack the...
Again, you can. That's a great afternoon. Like, go to the... X, go to the football game, go back to the X, pick your poison. Weather's supposed to be nice all weekend.
If I was them, I would be filling the place with people 15 and under. You know, just allow them to get in and see the product.
Try to get the next generation.
Yeah, hope they get interested so they say to their parents, you know what, maybe I'd like to go to another game.
And then actually pay. It'd be a
Takes
good idea.
One step at a time.
Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I'm on the Mets just got swept 4 games straight against the Yankees. I think they get back on track tonight. Take the Mets at home against Miami. Throw down 20 and you can score $103. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Before you wager, get the latest odds, event info, and matchup stats on your phone. ProLine, get way into the game. All right, Steve, I guess we won't see you again for a couple of weeks. You're down in Vegas for the majority of next week.
Mayweather-McGregor.
Enjoy the deadline, trying to get that in under the wire for the,
you know,
for the Toronto Sun.
It's going to be so late that we probably can't hit the paper at all.
Well, I can't imagine you would. They won't get in until like 12:30 Eastern time. They're in the ring.
Well, historically, boxing usually does its main events around 11, 11:15, which is okay for us. But UFC, historically, it goes way later than that.
It's after midnight, so almost invariably.
I don't know where the compromise is going to come, if at all. Although the pay-per-view comes on here at 9 p.m. So are people going to want to sit through 3 hours of junk to watch possibly 12 more rounds of junk?
You have to. That's when the fight comes on. If you're committed to seeing the fight.
You better have good food and some pretty good booze.
That's what it's going to be. There'll be a lot of parties. Yeah. A lot of people will be hosting parties.
Landsberg's having a party. Did he invite you?
No, I've never been invited.
Okay, well,
I've heard about his big parties.
He has good parties, by the way. I was at a World Cup party at his house.
World Cup of hockey or soccer?
World Cup of soccer.
Okay.
The only reason I liked it, they had a food truck.
He actually ordered a food truck to come by.
Yeah, they had came to the driveway and
that's a bit excessive.
Yeah, but it was nice to do, and it was better than the soccer.
I'm sure it would be. You're not a soccer guy.
I don't really like soccer.
All right. Well, enjoy yourself tomorrow.
I will, and I'll see you whenever.
Whenever you're back, Steve, pop in, man. No, come by whenever you want. If you're in the building, you're always welcome in here. You know that. We'll get you on, Steve.
All right.
We'll bother you again.
Let's work at this.
All right. There's Steve Simmons from Sun Media. I'm Brian Hayes. I'm out here for the weekend. Back Monday at 4 p.m. We'll chat then.